Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to another live edition of Can We Talk Fridays. My name is Raz Williams, your host. For those of you that are new to the show, this show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 o'clock p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm looking forward to doing this show tonight, and I think it's going to be a very relevant topic. It's going to be about a topic that's often discussed. It's not discussed enough, especially in the church, leading from mainstream secular media to distort a lot of the true information that should be available to us. Guys, tonight's show topic is, what does the Bible have to say about demons, aliens, UFOs, giants, as it pertains to the end times? Last week, we had a special guest, Dr. Curtis Dodson, who talked to us about the end time prophecies, and where he gave us an insight into God's plan for the earth and why the world is in so much chaos and turmoil and what to expect in the near future. This week, we're going to kind of take it to a step further and really talk about all the mythological creatures, phenomena that we've seen in movies, storytelling, and yes, even archaeological finds and cave paintings around the world. Many Christians truly are confused and wonder what's God's position when it comes to these phenomena. And hopefully we will clear this up tonight. And we do have a special guest coming on the show tonight. His name is Mr. L.A. Marzulli, a world-renowned Bible scholar, researcher, and author of End Time Prophecy. He's an expert on UFO phenomenon and the supernatural. And it is our hope that we will paint a clear and concise position that the Bible takes in this particular area. So without further ado, guys, I would like to introduce my panel of co-hosts. Miss Nikki, how you doing, man? Nikki, do we have you on the line?
Yeah, I'm here.
Nikki, how you doing?
I'm fine. How are you, Raz?
Doing pretty good, Nikki. I'm not sure if you got to get a chance to listen to last week's show where we talked about end times, but what do you think of tonight's topic?
I think it's great. I did get a chance to listen to last week's show because I was on last week's show. So,
oh, that's right. I do apologize. You were.
I think it's great. It goes hand in hand with what we're talking about tonight.
Absolutely. Mr. Ronnie, I know you're on the line, sir. How are you?
I'm good.
Awesome, sir.
How you doing?
Ronnie, I'm excellent, sir. Hey, listen, Ronnie, what do you think of last week's topic?
I'm real happy about it. It was real. I got some clarification, and I'm sure if anybody was to go check it out, you know, there's a few things in there that was being taught that I'm sure shed some light. You know, it's good that we're bringing this subject out in a way. I like the fact that we brought the subject of end times out with some information, because people got the idea of end times is supposed to be gloom, or like that means something is too late. You know, when with the information that we were getting from Dr. Dodson, we're seeing that it's just to motivate you to be a witness and to, like, you know, assure you that your place in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life is secure, and you know, it was pretty cool. I'm glad we went through that.
Absolutely. So, Ronnie, what do you think of today's topic?
Man, I'm excited. I'm ready to get this information because I think, like I said, I'm just ready to get this information because I know people have dabbled with it, but it's a thing I think we come in contact with every day. And some of the stories and some of the myths that we know about, we know some of the elements of the mythologies, but we don't know the source, and we don't know how to tie them back into Scripture. And we can't really defend ourselves with knowledge when it comes to this area. So I'm just ready to get this information in tonight.
Absolutely. Mr. L.A. Marzulli, he's definitely done his homework. He's done his research, and he's very well sought after around the whole world as it pertains to his knowledge and his insight into this topic. So I'm looking forward to having him on the show. And, guys, this is going to be a good show, and definitely download this show to your iPhone, to your Android tablet or whatever, because this is going to be one of those shows where it's going to be wow. So, Ronnie, let's go to the news, man. What do we have going on around the world this week?
Well, I got one headline we're going to talk about, but before I get into that, I want to pass this around to you guys. I know last week we spoke on, you know, the Trayvon Martin thing happening, and now I just want to, you know, just bring it up because it's what's happening right now, the fact that, you know, the Zimmerman was found not guilty of killing this guy. The stand your ground plea or the stand your ground defense seems to have worked. And so, you know, just in because we brought it up before the verdict, I just want to bring it up after the verdict and just to, I guess, bring some closure. So me personally, I can't say I'm shocked or anything of that nature, you know what I mean? But it is sad that, you know, you have a room full of grown people that can't see that, you know, this adult was out of line when he attacked a young boy, that this adult was out of line when he disobeyed the officer that told him to stay where he was. I thought that these women that were the jurors would be able to see that there was really no cause. That was a real excessive force incident. I can understand if there was a weapon versus weapon thing, and then, you know, Zimmerman got the jump on him as far as having weapons. But, you know, the young man only had items from a store in his hand, and now his life is gone, which is sad, but I think it's even worse that humanity is deaf, dumb, and blind to the fact that the justice system doesn't work, that you can't even bring jurors. I mean, I could sit here and say a whole bunch of things that was wrong because you're supposed to be judged by a jury of your peers, and, you know, Zimmerman's peers aren't a bunch of women. And so it was sad to see the verdict go that way. It's sick to see society really can't make a true decision as far as what happened here without, you know, just messing it up. And so I just want to pass that around and get your thoughts on the verdict of not guilty as far as killing this young man. So, Nikki, you know, I started with you last time. Just what was your reaction to this verdict?
Well, I was absolutely in shock because I'm like, how can they not find him guilty of anything considering the fact that they have the 911 operator stating and testifying that they told him not to pursue him, and
wow,
he pursued anyway, you know. So I'm like, how can they find him? I mean, when you're not guilty, that means you didn't do anything, or the things that the way things was presented, or the way the evidence was presented, I couldn't quite understand. Well, I think evidence was kind of clear. So, and then this is the other trip part about it. By them finding him not guilty, because of that thing that we have of double jeopardy, they can never go back and retry him for the same crime. So,
wow,
basically, that sent that sends a message on so many levels to the black community, in my opinion. It's like, regardless if your president is black, you know what I mean? He ain't calling no shots. He can't get, you know what I'm saying? So it was like, it basically just, you know, and then they ridiculed the president for making the statements that he made, you know.
Right.
And it's just like, and I will be the first to say, I did not vote for President Obama. But at the end of the day, it's like, the truth is truth, you know. And so it's just absolutely ridiculous. It just, like I said, it just sent so many messages to the black community on so many levels, and I think it's horrible. And I think Zimmerman is probably doing the right thing by staying in hiding because, I mean, this done sparked a serious uprising because, like you said, it's not like they both had weapons and Zimmerman got the jump on him. He didn't even have a weapon. And then they're saying that, oh, because bump the fact that he pursued him, it's the fact that Trayvon Martin was the aggressor. Well, if anybody is following you in a strange area, I mean, shouldn't you be on the defense to protect yourself? I don't even know why this creepy guy is following me. So if he jumped out of the car, I'm going to do what's necessary to defend myself, and that's exactly what he did. So will Zimmerman's life threatened by the bag of Skittles that he had, or what to do? I mean, I think it's absolutely appalling.
Man, I agree. What do you got to say, Raz?
Well, from the outset, I expressed serious doubt about the prospect of Trayvon Martin's family receiving justice because Sanford, Florida, is a bastion of white Republican conservatism and pretty much racism, you know, really. I was very disappointed with the witness, the young lady who, I wasn't sure if it was Trayvon Martin's girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, whatever, but they caught her in lies a few times, so it really destroyed her credibility, and I think that the prosecution did a very poor job of preparing her to be able to withstand the rigors of questioning by the defense team. And so in that particular point, you know, they painted her as a, you know, some, you know, the way she was talking, her responses, it just did not make her look credible. You know, also, I'm looking at the jury selection as well. I mean, you, Vani, you made a point about you should be a jury of your peers should be selected, and they selected an all-white female jury, one of whom was a Latina. And so that was an issue that I thought was a problem, but it was devastating to see this happening. I knew this. I kind of had a feeling this was going to happen, but I don't know. I right now I'm still in shock a little bit about this. That you know, and it's concerning that, you know, God, all life comes from God, and it's precious because God called it precious. And here you have is a system from a country that's supposed to be founded on Judeo-Christian principles that is allowing this travesty to take place, and it's such a failure in justice, such a failure in respect for a life of a human being, whether he's black, it doesn't make a difference. But to me, it just goes to show that how racism still plays a big part in this country, how they value black men's lives, how Trayvon was actually deemed to be an aggressive black hoodlum because he was walking a certain way or wearing certain clothes. That may be the case, but still, it doesn't mean that he was, you know, he was a kid. He was a child. So it's just wrong on so many levels, bro. That's my comment.
Yep, I hear you. And so, you know, that's it. You know, for whoever's listening, you know, just see that society is not going to be able to bring justice. See that, you know, we need to line up with the Father so that we can, you know, kind of change the environment. But, yeah, these being the last days, these are just clues to the fact that, you know, things are really out of control. When a grown man would do this to a young kid, and then try to defend himself and say, oh, no, that was me screaming. That, you know, this goes to show you that society is is really not able and is really not what you think it is. The society is truly what we would, in, like, I guess church terms, would call the world. And we know that the god of this world is Satan. And so the god of society happens to be the enemy of humanity, and there is no way that it can produce any kind of justice. And so, you know, I just pray that we take this as a wake-up call to be sober and go ahead and align yourself with the truth, because society doesn't have that for you. The Bible does, the Father does, and that is through the Savior. So, you know, we just wish that all families involved and all people who know about it would grow up spiritually, so that, you know, these things don't just happen, you know, and when they do happen, they don't go without some kind of, you know, truth and reconcile and justice. And so as far as the news today, I'm going to start off by saying, you know, we've had shows about LGBT and things of that nature, so this is not coming against LGBT. We already know that's not it's a non-issue where the Bible stands with this. And so this is why this little headline is a little strange. And so there's not an attack on LGBT. This is to shed light on what's happening, because we all know that we have pastors and we got elders and leaders and all these titles, and most of them go through seminary schools. And so we have here Fuller Seminary School is allowing the first LGBT campus group. And so Fuller Theological Seminary in California has approved an official student organization for the LGBT students. And so the decision sparked a debate in a larger world of Christian colleges, although other Christian schools have approved similar groups. Fuller is the first evangelical seminary to do so. And so the group is called One Table, and it was formed last fall and has attracted about 36 students. And so right here it's saying that the group's founder, I'm not going to say his name, said that he's hoping that people will see Fuller and One Table as a model of what the body of the church is supposed to do in this situation. And so to sum it up, a summary is that we've got a theological school where the future pastors and leaders are going to come from. This is the machine, this theological school, that's going to produce the person that your pastor might hand his church to. And we're coming to learn that this one right here in California is getting on the map for being the first theological school to allow a homosexual group to be, you know, to partake in what they have there. So you got people, you're putting your money and you're funding these schools, and these schools are actually making a place for what the Bible calls a vile passion of disgrace. This is what the Bible calls it. It either calls it an abomination, a vile passion of disgrace. And so to do this is to encourage it, to allow this group to be there is to make it, what you're saying to the rest of the body of Christ is that, oh, it's okay to make a place for them. Now, if you're going to make a place for anyone who's lost, or anyone who's living in deception, or anyone who's living in darkness, you make a place for them to come into the truth, to come into the light. You don't make a place for them to continue to live in darkness, because you make a potential for the rest of the kids to either partake or become insensitive. So if we look at, like, in the Old Testament, when the nation of Israel was moving into Canaan and moving into the Promised Land, they were warned to not partake and don't imitate, don't copy, don't even allow to survive any of these vile things that these nations before you were doing, because they're going against God. So here we have in your day and time, this is not an attack on the LGBT, but this is a wake-up call for those that don't think that we're being infiltrated, meaning the enemy is operating on so many ways to get in and bring in deception and bring in compromise. So you have a theological school that's allowing homosexuals to partake or be around with no correction, with no help, with no direction, and that's totally against what Scripture's about. So as a believer out there, I hope this article puts you in a position to start learning at home, to start teaching your children before they go out into this so-called world or whatever, so that they will have a good biblical foundation, so nobody can just feed them anything, and so that they will stand up against things that aren't in the Bible. So I just want to pass it around. So Raz, I know we talked about this earlier. You know, you got anything to say about the seminary school that's supposed to be training spiritual leaders, but they're allowing spiritual abomination?
Absolutely. Before I get to that comment, Ronnie, I want to recognize L.A. Marzulli is on the line. We're going to get to him in a second here. I have a few words to say about that. Is the coming world deception? I was looking on Fuller's Theological Seminary website, and I'm reading their statement of purpose, and I'm going to read it out to you if that's okay. It says that Fuller Theological Seminary, embracing the School of Theology, School of Psychology, and School of Intercultural Studies, is an evangelical, multi-denominational, international, and multi-ethnic community dedicated to the equipping of men and women for the manifold ministries of Christ and His church. Under the authority of Scripture, now I'm going to repeat that, under the authority of Scripture, we seek to fulfill our commitment to ministry through graduate education, professional development, and spiritual formation. In all of our activities, including instruction, nurture, worship, service, research, and publication, Fuller Theological Seminary strives for excellence in the service of Jesus Christ under the guidance and power of the Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father. Now, I may not be the most smartest man out there, but I can't see how allowing or giving allowances for the LGBT group to be a part of the seminary being under the authority of the Holy Spirit or really equipping the men and women for the manifold ministries of Christ Jesus. I don't see that. And I just believe that I believe there's a common deception where the Bible does describe Satan that he will deceive in the very elect. And how will he do that? He will go through their seminaries. He will alter the truth, alter people's perceptions, and alter these lifestyle choices, and normalize them and erase pretty much the right or wrong about it. It's okay. They're doing it, so why not? Why can't we do it? And that's pretty much what's going on. And I think you're right. We have to be extremely careful. We have to be very vigilant. We have to be sober. We have to really educate our children that, you know, and those coming up, that we really have to really vet these pastors coming in these churches, and because there's a thin line between deception and truth right now, Ronnie. I really believe that.
Yep. Nikki, you got any thoughts on this article?
Yeah, it just goes back to one of the first shows that I was on, how I talked about believers, or for lack of a better term, a lot of them are punks now, you know what I mean? And it's just like folding under the pressure. And when Jesus came, he didn't come to make friends and he didn't come to make peace. He came to shake some stuff up. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And what's happening is these Christians, that's why I consider myself a believer. I follow Christ, but I'm a true believer. There's a difference. And these so-called Christians, they're folding because they want to be politically correct. Now, how politically correct was Jesus? He was not. He was completely opposite of every. That's why they didn't see him. That's why a lot of them didn't see him as the Messiah, because he came against their traditions and the way that the world at the time was. And So just goes right back to it. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. And, you know, we have to pray, and the other ones have to stop being just straight up, you know, punk believers and, you know, stop folding because of money. Because I'll tell you this, yeah, the word does say even the very, if it be possible, even the very elect will be deceived. But these people that we talking about, they ain't even deceived because this ain't nothing hidden. They know what's up. They just went with the money and the popular choice. And the popular choice right now is homosexuality, you know, and what's impopular or what's not popular, should I say, while I'm making up words impopular, what's not popular right now is to be quote-unquote normal.
Wow. Well.
And that's my comment.
Okay. Well, that's all, folks. I mean, that's the news. I just wanted to bring that headline to anyone who would be listening to know that if you leave with anything there, it's not an attack on any group, but we're questioning the credibility, we're questioning the stance of someone or some organization or some school that's saying you're doing something in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And once you step out of that line, you become something totally different. And so I just hope this article encourages people to test the spirit, test everybody, test everything, and make sure that it's found, you know, in line with the faith, with the way, the truth, and the life. So that's it for the news.
Well, Ronnie, you did an excellent job, sir. I must say so myself. That was one of your best to date. And, guys, Eli Marzulli is in the studio with us right now. He's an expert on modern prophetic fulfillment. Eli Marzulli is also the author of nonfiction works with politics, prophecy, and the supernatural. He's been blessed, guys, with a mind that is constantly in motion. Eli Marzulli, welcome to Can We Talk Fridays. Good to have you on the show, sir.
Hey, great to be here, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Awesome. So, Eli, what do you think about the news we just discussed with the seminary in California?
Well, the seminary in California, you know, it's look, this is a real slippery slope. We know what Scripture tells about and talks about very explicitly, this type of behavior, and I just think we are rapidly moving into the days of Noah, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Not only was homosexuality blatantly practiced, and Paul talks about this quite openly when he says men burning for men, women, you know, burning for women, leaving a natural desire and all that. He makes it very clear. We also go back into the law of Moses. And people will say, well, you're going to do the whole law. I get all that, okay? There's part of the law is if a woman has her menstrual cycle and you sit where she's sitting, that's sin. I get all that. But there's certain parts of it. And I'm not saying that we throw the whole thing out. But here where I'm going with this. This is obviously a real slippery slope. And the fact that the Supreme Court voted against what the people voted for, which was that marriage is sacrosanct, the Defense of Marriage Act. I blogged about all this when it came down. It just shows the decadence and the decay of the society. And it's time for Christians to stand up. And I've been blogging about this forever and say enough is enough. The problem is the church, for the most part, is asleep and won't rise up collectively. The church is the most segregated organization on the planet. I mean, it really is. You know, Presbyterians stay with the Presbyterians, and Afro-American churches stay there, white churches stay there, Chinese churches stay there. It's insane. I travel all around, guys, the United States. The one unifying factor we have, I don't care where you are, what your economic thing is, what color your skin is. I was down on Navajo Indian Reservation. These people are dirt poor. I mean, dirt poor. And the love of Jesus permeates everybody, everywhere we go. There may be denominational differences. People may believe this, believe that. But the one unifying factor is Jesus. Everyone loves Jesus. Everyone loves the Lord. You know, we may disagree about a bunch of other stuff, but when it comes right down to it, we all love him because we know him, and we know that he saved us. And if we could somehow tap into that and it would unify us, and that would be incredible. That would just be absolutely incredible.
Wow, absolutely. That's a very good point, LA, right there. You know, guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, Can We Talk Fridays, we're talking about what does the Bible have to say about aliens, UFOs, alien abductions, giants? And we have a special guest on the show tonight. His name is L.A. Marzulli. He's been on the show such as Sid Roth, Supernatural. He's been on other, Today's Prophecy as well. And you can find him on YouTube and on his website. Now, guys, listen, L.A. is definitely very researched. He's a very researched man who's been around the world and in Europe, all around the United States of America. And he's going to give us a biblical assessment of what's going on in the world pertaining to the supernatural demonic activity as far as aliens, UFOs, giants, you name it. We're going to talk about it right now. So, Ellie, I'm going to let you have the floor. We're going to probably ask you a couple of questions, you know, as you're speaking, and we're going to open the phone lines to anyone who wants to call in and ask you questions. Is that okay?
Sure. Go for it.
Absolutely. Okay, Ellie, the first question I wanted to ask you, why do you think the supernatural is so taboo in Western culture?
Well, it shouldn't be. In fact, all this year, every conference I've been asked to speak, I start off my talk, and sometimes I'm speaking for 6 hours, depending on if I'm the only speaker or there's other speakers. But, you know, most of the time if I fly into a place, I'm speaking for at least a minimum of 4 hours. Most of the time it's 6 or 9 or even 12 sometimes if it's 3 days. I start every talk with the same, sort of the same little vignette. And I say, okay, we as Christians believe in the virgin birth, floating accents, talking donkeys, 2 gold coins that appear magically in the fish's mouth, staff, which turn into serpents, men that walk on water, others that rise from the dead, a basket of fish that somehow feeds 5,000 people, a storm that is calmed with one word, demoniacs, which are healed, a man who was swallowed by a whale and then regurgitated 3 days later. And I said, do you realize how crazy this is? It is. It's absolutely bonkers what we believe as Christians. Well, everything I just said is supernatural. Every last item I checked off in that list, and I could go on, are all supernatural events that are in our Bible. Interesting. Someone was writing some negative feedback because of the Colorado conference, because we're talking about Nephilim and UFOs and the supernatural and all this stuff. And they were saying, well, we're just going to stick to the Bible. And it's laughable because everything I just said is from the Bible, and it's all supernatural, isn't it? And this, like, cognitive dissonance, what Christians don't understand is that the supernatural is manifesting all around us as we speak. In May of this year, in April of 2013, there were 1,000 UFO sightings. 1,000 UFO sightings in the month of May globally. Now, those are the ones that reported. These guys who track this stuff say we're probably getting less than 50%. That's actually many people see things but are too afraid to report it, and so they go unreported. 1,000. Go back to 1950. There was one UFO sighting reported in the month of December. So truly the phenomena is not going away. This year in May, the Disclosure Project in Washington met, and you know, Paul Hoyler, the ex-Secretary of Defense Minister of the Canadian government, stood up and said there's absolutely no doubt that extraterrestrials are visiting this planet. You see, the coming great deception is already here. The church dithers. The New Agers are on board. The exopolitic crowd are already on board. They're awaiting the technology that pilots the craft, and I've said this for years. They will come, E.T., when they finally show up, and it's not E.T. And by the way, the Vatican is on board. The Vatican has already said, and my friend Chris Putman, who we've interviewed for the Watcher 7 movie, which is coming out in a couple of months, you know, has stated quite openly that the Vatican embraces the extraterrestrial, and Father Funes has stated that he should be regarded as our brother. E.T. should be regarded as our brother. So what we see is the supernatural is manifesting in ways that I've never seen. And I'm just talking, you know, one dynamic. When you get into the black-eyed kids, the shapeshifters, the skinwalkers, I mean, I can go on, trust me. Some of the things that we saw when we were in Mexico about a month and a half ago, I can't even talk about them because they haven't been released yet. But we saw an artifact down there that was absolutely mind-blowing. And it was, I'll tell you one thing, it was X-rayed, and it wasn't a fake. It was not a hoax. It was not, you know, a puppet or somebody creating a hoax. This thing was X-rayed. We're trying to get DNA testing and samples of this entity, and it was unlike anything I've ever seen before. My partner and I looked at each other with our mouths on the floor just going, you've got to be kidding me. And, I mean, this thing is real. So things are manifesting, and the church, remember, 2 Thessalonians, you know, people say we shouldn't be talking about the supernatural. Well, 2 Thessalonians says and states quite openly that Satan, the fallen, the dragon, the adversary of our souls, the great deceiver, will come with all signs and lying wonders. Well, we're here. The all signs and lying wonders are coming. I mean, we're in the midst of it. It's already manifesting. It's already appearing. You know, things are happening, and the church, which should be at the vanguard, telling people, warning people, tying it into Scripture, is basically asleep at the wheel. Now, God has raised up a bunch of us. I think I'm one of those guys that he's raised up, because that's all I do, and I've written 7 books on the subject, to try to warn the church what is happening. But there is like an arrogance within the body of Messiah, the body of Christ, the body of Jesus, that won't deal with the issue. People are more content with playing church, getting together for an hour and going through the ceremony week after week after week after week than they are in actually doing what we're called to do, which is destroy the works of the devil. And you say, well, what works of the devil are we to destroy? Well, let me ask you something. Is there a psychic in your neighborhood? More than likely there is, probably one or two. Is there an abortion clinic in your neighborhood? More than likely there's one within a 30-mile radius of where you live. These are the works of the enemy. I mean, they are. There's just no doubt about it. 1 billion aborted babies on this planet? 56
wow.
million babies in this country alone? 56 million babies. And these morons stand up on the street and go, you know, abortion on demand, abortion on demand. They're clueless. Take any of them, any of those people, any of them, I don't care. I'm willing to bet $1,000. You take them into an ultrasound, show that baby, and then take that woman, after you've done the ultrasound, right, now take and let that witness who's been saying abortion on demand, let her stand there and watch what an abortion really is. Let her stand there, and then let's see how she reacts when the doctor is pulling out arms and limbs and, you know, whatever he's doing. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting what goes on. It's absolutely horrific. It's barbaric. It's totally satanic. And in my opinion, it is a ritualistic blood sacrifice. And I've been chastised for that by people, but I hold to that because that's what it is. It's a modern-day ritualistic blood sacrifice done by these moronic doctors who, like Gosnell. Now, not every doctor is like Gosnell, but that guy, you know, murdered how many babies? You know, 3, 4, 30? The doctor down in Texas now is being tried. Same deal. So this is where we are, folks. I mean, it's some of the darkest days that have ever happened on the earth. And I think this is a prelude to what we see happening in the book of Revelation. Mark of the beast coming, the great deception that Paul talks about, the wars and rumors of war, famines and pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places, troublesome times. We're already seeing all this stuff happen. I mean, the water in we're on a 4-year drought in California. Meanwhile, in India, they've had record floods. Meanwhile, on the East Coast, record heat. What was it? 600 people died in the UK, in England, from heat. Yeah, I mean, I'm 62 years old. I've never read anything remotely like that. What? We are so far down the rabbit hole, it's absurd. Then we get the government stuff and the wars in the Middle East and all the crazy political stuff and the nutty racism in this country, which won't go away no matter what we try to do. I mean, it's crazy what's happening on this planet. It's absolutely bonkers. You throw the monetary stuff in it, Bernanke and his magic little printing press, you know, just printing money, 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 money. You look at what's going on in the EU, look at Greece, look at Portugal, look at Ireland and Spain. You know, we're talking about austerity measures and everything else. There's riots in the streets. You don't hear anything about that. What was it, 26 people were blown to smithereens today in Iraq? You know, look at the suicide bombings in Iraq, Shia against Sunni, because that's what it is. They call it sectarian violence. And we're allowing these people into this country, Sunni and Shia. And at some point in time, they'll start blowing each other up here because they're already doing it in Iraq. It's like every 7 to 10 days, some nutty, crazy suicide bomber packs himself up with explosives or gets in a car packed with explosives, and they drive in front of a either a Sunni or a Shia, depending on who's doing it, and they blow each other up. This is insane. This is insane. Look at what's happened in Syria. What is it, 90,000 people now have been killed in this bloody civil war? Bashar al-Assad is still in power. The Russians are conducting the largest military drills they have done since the Cold War. You know, and then they found at the Panama, was it the Panama Canal? Just recently, they found all these arms and missiles packed in a cargo ship coming from Cuba. Oh, well, where were they going? You know, what's going on here? The threat of an electromagnetic pulse weapon, which our politicians have talked about and warned, and yet our grid is not protected. And we know that these third world countries like North Korea, like Iran and others, an EMP, electromagnetic pulse weapon, would set this country back into the Stone Age overnight.
Wow.
And you want to talk about anarchy? All you got to do is look at Katrina if you want to see anarchy. Look at what happens when the power goes down. Look at Sandy. Look at the looting and the lawlessness that happens. The criminal element immediately goes into overdrive. Criminals flock in from all over America to try to take advantage of it. Can you imagine if the grid goes down and half the country is without power? That means your cell phone, refrigerator, your car, nothing works. We're back in the Stone Age. Nothing works. And guess what? Most people have about a week to 2 weeks worth of food, and that's it. That's all they got. So now what happens?
Absolutely.
What happens when your water doesn't run anymore? And I could go on and on and on for hours, but I think you get the drift.
Absolutely. That was an excellent point you made there. Some very good points there. Guys, if you're tuning in for the first time, we're talking about what does the Bible say about demons, aliens, UFOs, and giants as it pertains to the end times. And we have a special guest talking right now. His name is L.A. Marzulli. L.A., listen, I wanted to ask you, you made some very good points about the church. I mean, there's people listening right now who's saying, how dare you say such a thing? How dare you speak about that? They don't teach us at my church. You're blaspheming, L.A. So what do you have to say to those people out there right now?
Well, look, what do we do when Jesus confronts the man of the tombs, who's possessed by legion? And where do we think that that's not happening somewhere today? You know, why is it that we don't understand? You can't believe the emails I get across my desk, Dear L.A., and it just goes from there. Or the phone calls I get, the ministry that happens behind the scenes here, where lots of prayer goes on, where people get saved and they get healed, and in some cases even delivered. People have taken on entities. They've opened themselves up to entities. This stuff is real. You know, do a modicum of homework. Go on the internet and type up UFO disclosure and see what comes up. You know, I mean, just nose around. Spend like a few hours on the internet looking at what's out there, and it'll blow your mind. Guarantee it'll blow your mind. And the church is asleep because it won't deal with this stuff.
Absolutely. Now, Ellie, I want to talk about the battle of unseen forces, cosmic powers between God and satanic forces. The end game. Can you lay the platform for us on this?
Well, we are in a cosmic war. I've written about this in the Cosmic Chess Match, and this war has been going on for millennia. And you know, I get in this idea that we're in a cosmic war. And if we're in a cosmic war, if there is life elsewhere in the universe, then we are definitely in quarantine. This place is a no man's land, because what's going on here is crazy. There are two sides, and frankly, I don't believe in life elsewhere. I believe that, you know, this just us here. Jesus comes back to the earth, not Zeta Reticuli. Jesus lands on the Mount of Olives, not New York. So for everybody who thinks that the Jews are not the chosen people, think again. He lands on the Mount of Olives, and there's a reason for that, because Israel has been regathered at the four corners of the earth and reestablished in their ancient homeland. So that being said, this war between the Most High God and the good angels and the fallen one, the anointed cherub, and the minions that also followed him in his rebellion, about a third of the host, has been going on literally for millennia. We don't know how far back this great cosmic war reaches. Is it 6,000 years? It's a lot longer than that, in my opinion. It could be, in fact, millions of years. And I realize that's going to cause all sorts of people, well, 6,000 years is only 6,000 years old. I'm not promulgating Darwinism, folks. I believe in a singular act of creation, but it's a recreation. Something happened that was very cataclysmic here before the creation as we know it took place. And, you know, for all I know, God dragged the sun. I mean, look, I don't know what happened, but there's something that happened. And we look at the earth, and it's a wasteland. There's been a flood. The earth is covered with water. There's a first flood that happened, and God wiped something out here that was here. He didn't want it, and starts all over again. Brings in the sun, brings in the moon, starts all over again. And we see right from the get-go, when man is finally placed there, this is the battle. Satan is jealous, and the fallen one appears in the form of, you know, the dragon, the snake, and everything else, and whispers in the ear. God surely didn't say that, for he knows you'll eat, your eyes will be open, you'll become like him. And this starts up the great cosmic battle, which has been going on literally since that time. And then we hear the first promise of Messiah. Someone will come that will crush your head, but you'll bruise his heel. That's the promise of the Messiah. So now Satan knows that, oh, someone's going to come, all he need to do is pollute the genome, there'll be no human race, Messiah can't be born, as checkmate, I win. That's what's going on here. And when we look at all the scripture, it's move, counter move between the fallen one and the Most High God. I'll give you a perfect example. Messiah is born 2,000 years ago, and the fallen one doesn't know it, but he knows someone is coming who will crush his head. He knows that. He's been looking. You know, once he finds out that it's through the line of Abraham, what does he do? He raises up this man Haman. He raises up Pharaoh. What are they always trying to do? Kill the Jews. When the Jews come back, start to trickle down into their homeland at the turn of the 19th and in the 20th century. He raises up this man Hitler. What does Hitler do? Sets up his whole deal is to wipe out and kill the entire Jewish race. Because if he can do that, prophecy won't be fulfilled. As checkmate, even though checkmate happened on Calvary when Jesus dies and sheds his blood and gets back the title dig and proclaims victory, the fallen one's a horrible loser. He wants to take as many people as he can, and he certainly wants to destroy the chosen ones, and that's why Hitler's raised up. But when Jesus is born and Satan finds out about it, he raises up his antichrist of the time, Herod, and Herod goes out with a crazy command, kill everybody 2 years years old and younger. That's nuts. This is what we're up against. And we know from the book of Revelation that Michael fights with Satan and his angels, and Satan loses. And there's a great eviction from the second heaven. And Satan is booted out of there, man, and he falls to earth. And he knows his time is short. Woe to the inhabitants of earth, because Satan, your adversary, the dragon, the devil, has been kicked out from the second heaven and is now dwelling among you. And he knows his time is short. Why? Because he no longer enjoys the time-space perspective that he had in the second heaven. That's all gone. He can't get back there again. He cannot get back there. He's really ticked off. Woe to the inhabitants of earth. Folks, we are headed towards that moment in time. We are. We are headed towards that moment of time. It's coming. Wake up.
Wow. Guys, you heard it. L.A. Marzulli is on Can We Talk Radio. If you guys, the number to call in for the show is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Ella, you mentioned a really good point. You mentioned that you mentioned something about Satan actually, he has nothing but a short time. But how does Satan and his demons perceive time? Because, and I say this in reference to when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, he took him at a peak, and he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, and he said, if you bow down and worship me, I will give you all these things, for they have been given to me. So how does Satan perceive time like we do, or is it completely different?
Completely different. When he takes Jesus up, and I talk about this in the Cosmic Chess Match, when he takes Jesus up and shows him in a twinkling of an eye, moment of time, basically, all the kings, well, that's literal. I mean, he can do that. He can actually do that from the second heaven perspective, because time as we know it exists in a totally different way there. I'll give you a graphic example. There's a guy who was abducted by aliens, UFO stuff, okay? Which, of course, we don't believe. We believe that these are the fallen ones who have built craft because their wings have been clipped, and they need the craft to flip between the second heaven and the first heaven. That's what this is all about. So they use the craft. They come down here, and, they take Travis Walton. Travis Walton is gone for 5 days. When they let him off, he's about 60 miles away from his house or 30 miles away from his house in another town. And he calls, you know, his wife or friends or whatever. They all come and they, you know, Travis, where have you been? Travis thinks he's been gone for a few hours. That's all it seems like to him. Been gone for 5 days. 5 days.
Mm.
He thinks he's been gone for 2 hours. Gives you an idea. That's a space-time dilation. We have a friend that we interviewed in Watchers 5, Gary Sturman. And Gary had a UFO experience where he had missing time. There was definitely a time-space dilation. There's no doubt about that. He was in a Cessna, which had 4 hours of fuel, yet apparently he was in the air for 6 hours. He was 3 hours late from where he was supposed to be. He flew from Dallas to Lubbock, Texas. When he arrived,
wow,
he was 3 hours late. 3 hours late. To him, it seemed like 20 minutes. When he got on the ground, 3 hours late. That's a time-space dilation.
Wow. So, LA, I'd like to ask you, what is the whole purpose between of why the fallen angels are this abduction phenomenon? Why is that at such an increase right now? I know you've done a lot of interviews with people who've claimed to have been abducted by alien beings, and we call them fallen angels. Is
yeah.
there a plan behind this? What's the end game here?
Well, the end game is exactly what happened in the days of Noah. There's genetic manipulation going on. Satan is attempting to make a hybrid creature. I think he's already done that, which will look at human, will pass as human, except it will be demonically enhanced, and it will be under his control. Dr. David Jacobs, who we interviewed for Watcher 7, believes that the breeding program has reached its conclusion and that these hybrid creatures are already integrating into our society. Now, I can't prove that, but that's what he believes. That's after 30 years of research. He's also extremely concerned because he believes, as I do, that these beings do not have good intentions toward us. I would go a step further and call them incredibly malevolent and nefarious beings. And Jesus points to be like the days of Noah when he returns, which immediately begs the question, what differentiates the days of Noah from any other time in history? And, of course, it's the presence of the angelic host, the fallen angelic host, which is messing with the gene pool. And what most people, I mean, if we don't understand that this is happening today, that the evidence is absolutely overwhelming that there is a genetic manipulation going on, that sexual activity is happening between the hybrid beings and people of Earth. It's similar to what happened in the days of Noah. It's slightly different. The enemy has changed his way of doing it, but it's the same deal. In essence, it's genetic manipulation. The bottom line is this. Satan is attempting to create man in his own image. And anyone who takes that mark, which I believe are these chips that have been put in the people who are abducted, these chips that are in there are all prototypes. Okay, there are double-walled carbon nanotubes found on these chips. Sometimes they give off magnetic waves. Other times they give off radio frequencies, 317 gigahertz, which might be a clock speed, which means that there are supercomputers, which is what we believe that they are. I've gone a step further, and I postulate that these implants are, in fact, prototypes. They're not the real thing yet. Prototypes are the mark of the beast, and that the end game, the ones that will be given out that people will voluntarily take, will change the human DNA and make that person into a Nephilim, which is why the judgment is so severe in what we read about in the book of Revelation. You take the mark, you wind up in the lake of fire. There's absolutely zero grace and mercy given to anyone who takes that mark. There's no way around it. We can tap dance around it, and we can say, oh, well, we didn't know, blah, 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 blah. Anyone who takes the mark, they wind up in the lake of fire. Yet we see a loving God extend grace and mercy to Nineveh by sending Jonah and telling him to repent, and the Ninevites do. Nineveh, when you go back, this is in the new book, On the Trail of a Nephilim, which we haven't really talked about tonight, but that's okay. but we're kind of, you know, dancing around it because it's all related. But, you know, Jonah goes in there, and Nineveh was, in my opinion, invented the word barbarian. These people were absolutely bloodthirsty and crazy, crazy, crazy people. When you got to Nineveh, if you were unlucky enough to go there, the first thing you would see are around the high walls of the city, where about every 20 feet there'd be a stake. And on that stake would be a head in various forms of decomposition, various stages of decomposition. They would skin their enemies alive and tack their flesh on the walls of the city. And that's just for starters, okay? That's just for starters. Yet, there's grace and mercy. I mean, these people are crazy, and God knows that. He's going to destroy their rear end skis unless they do something about it. But grace and mercy is extended through Jonah. They can repent if they want to, and guess what they do? Well, there's no grace and mercy extended to anyone who takes the mark. There's never any grace and mercy extended to the Nephilim. Look at Genesis 6. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. Look at the mandate from a loving, holy God to destroy everything in the Promised Land when Joshua and Caleb go in. That's genocide. Unless there's something else that's going on. And, of course, there's something else that's going on. And what is going on is the Nephilim are there, and that's why the mandate comes down to destroy them.
Wow. So L.A., would you say that, like what we've been told in the scriptures, that there is more to the mark of the beast than just buying and selling?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. There are four criteria. Buying or selling is just one of the criteria. The second criteria is you take the mark, grievous sores break out on your body. The third criteria, you take the mark, you wind up in a lake of fire. The fourth one says this: in those days, what days? The days of the mark, men and women will seek death but not be able to die. And that fits in exactly with the days of Noah. I believe a lifespan will be elongated. This chip will lengthen the lifespan 400, 500, 600 years disease-free, which is why you won't be able to die. And that's my hypothesis. That's what I believe will happen, and we will see it. And I think when these guys show up, and the exopolitic crowd has already talked about this, they want ET to come. They believe that we'll get free energy. And you know what? They're right. We will get free energy. That's the first thing that these guys will do. They'll give us free energy. The second thing that they'll do is they'll tell us that they created us, that they were our progenitors. And now they have a DNA upgrade for us that'll lengthen our lifespan by 500 years disease-free. The line for that chip, that implant, will go around the block. Around
wow.
the block. And
That's
I'm not
crazy.
Making this stuff up.
You know, Eli, I do want to get to the Nephilim real quick, but I just wanted to ask you a few more questions, if you don't mind, in this particular subject on UFO phenomenon. And we mentioned earlier on that the Vatican have a secret plan to reveal UFOs and aliens. Now, can you give us more information about that as far as what is the Vatican's involvement in the great coming deception when it comes to pertains to UFOs and aliens?
Well, the man you want to speak to on that is Chris Putnam. He's written a book called Exo Vaticana. And, in fact, they use one of the chapters from my book, Politics, Prophecy, and the Supernatural, which I wrote about Fatima. They use that in their book. Voluminous work. It's over, I think, 600 pages, and you should have him on your show. Chris is very knowledgeable and has spent a lot of time researching the Vatican connection. But look, it's there, and the Vatican, a summation would be this: the Vatican is awaiting and is in place to embrace an extraterrestrial savior. That's
wow.
It's already in place. It will happen, and that. The Vatican is the one, it's a 2,000-year-old structure, which has nothing to do with the Jesus I know anyway. Although there were, hear what I'm saying, let me clarify something. Many, many, many Catholics love and believe in the Lord. Many priests and bishops and probably even some cardinals do so too. I'm painting with a very broad brush here. But there's an element in the Catholic Church which is completely skewed. And some of these guys are awaiting an alien savior. And I think the Vatican has been shown, I think they know for certainty, just like every first world government on the planet knows, that these entities are real, that they've been here for thousands of years, that they come and go with complete impunity, no one can stop them, that there is a breeding program going on. Perhaps the Vatican has even been shown a holographic film showing that Jesus was actually created by them, which is what the Raelians, that's our friend Claude Vonderhorn, the ex-race car driver, who started a movement called, he calls himself now Rael, and the Raelians follow him. And he believes that, you know, Jesus was created by the same father who created him. So they're brothers. Then you go to Blossom Goodchild or the Ashtar Command. Jesus is really Sananda, who is the Christ. In other words, he's not Jesus Messiah, the anointed one. He's, you know, Jesus, he became the Christ. And it just goes on and on and on. Like I said, you talk for hours about this stuff. But, the church doesn't understand what it's facing. And that's the problem. It doesn't really understand not what's coming, but what's already here. And, you know, what I realize is that there's such a small element of people who are even interested in this, very small, in the thousands, not hundreds of thousands, in the thousands. I only get between 5,000 and 7,000 people a day on my blog, and now I've been blogging for 6 years.
Five years.
And I only get between 5,000 and 7,000. I blog every day but Saturday on a variety of articles. I link to 7 news articles every day. You know, this is what I do, part of what I do. I write a 400 to 600 word commentary on a variety of subjects every day. There's a new post, there's a new blog. We only have between 5,000 and 7,000 people a day on the blog. Those numbers should be more like 50,000 to 70,000. That's what it should be. That's not. Same thing with our news magazine. We've got people, some great authors that come in and write, like Doug Woodward, Doug Hamp, Natalina from Extraordinary Intelligence, another radio show, Richard Shaw, the co-producer of the Watcher series, Gary Stierman. We have, you know, other people, Brian Forrester, who's come in and talked about the elongated skulls that we found in Peru. And our news magazine, you'd think we'd have 10,000 people subscribe to that thing. We've got like 1,400. That's after 5 years. So, you know, the bottom line is most Christians are not interested in any of this. They will be soon. They'll be scrambling for answers when this stuff really starts to come down. And this is why I'm speaking more now than I ever have before. But that's just, I got another 15 minutes and then I got to go, guys. So take it.
Absolutely. LA, real quick, I just wanted to ask you about the Nephilim and the giants. And there's been a lot of archaeological finds of gigantic human skeletons ranging from 20 feet to even 36 feet, I believe, around the world, even in our country here. And can you just let the audience know who are the Nephilim? How is it that and how did the giants come to be? Is this real? A lot of people want to know that tonight.
Well, the Nephilim, first of all, are the byproduct or the progeny of fallen angels, which were male, and the women of Earth, which obviously are female. And there was intercourse. They took wives of the women, the fallen angels did, and many wives, it's plural, and they had children. And these children became or what's known as the Nephilim. And one of the byproducts of the Nephilim was giantism. But that's before the flood. After the flood, when they come back, they're still pretty big, but they're not like 25 feet or 30 feet. Goliath might have been 12 feet. Og, king of Bashan, was one of the last of the giants. Depending on who you talk to, he could be as tall as 15 feet, very big guy. We believe that there's been a refining process, constantly working with the gene pool, and that also when Joshua and Caleb go into Israel, the promised land, to conquer it, there are a lot of Nephilim tribes there, about 20 of them almost, that are already in the promised land. And many of these tribes have different characteristics. For one thing, the long necks, when you translate their names like Zanzimim or Nephilim, Raphaim, they all mean something. One of the translations is long necks. I think that's Zanzimim, but I could be wrong on that. The Emims, the Perizzites, I mean, all these different tribes with different characteristics. So Joshua and Caleb come in, they're slaughtering everything because these entities, these creatures are hybrid creatures. They're not human. That's why the mandate from a loving God is to wipe them all out. Okay? And they flee. Some of them flee northward. Others flee across the Atlantic Ocean, settled in South America. Others flee into North America in the Ohio Valley. We see remnants of these hybrid creatures in Peru. I was there. I look at the skulls. We're trying to get DNA testing on these things. We've done a sample of the hair, which was called Raman spectroscopy, and that showed a definite correlation between the hair from a 2,000 or 3,000-year-old mummy and a man who was abducted by a hybrid and forced to have sex with the hybrid. The hybrid had blondish white hair, and when the man awakened, one hair was on his body, and he had the presence of mind to take it. So we took the hair from the red-haired mummy from Peru, which is about 2,000 to 3,000 years old, the whitish hair from the hybrid creature. Then we took a human hair and a dyed human hair, and we ran it through a machine called Raman spectroscopy. And the human hair, the results are plotted on a graph. It measures the molecular structure of whatever you're examining, and it plots it on a graph so you can see what you're looking at. Well, the human hair, the slope of the human hair, is like looking at an upside-down U. Just kind of, you know, comes up and then just like an upside-down U, like a horseshoe. The dyed human hair starts off on the left side of the graph and the slope just goes straight out to the top of the graph. The hybrid white hair and the red hair from the skull that's 2,000 to 3,000-year-old found in Peru, the slope of these two hair samples track almost identically up and down the graph. It's absolutely phenomenal. And I show that. I show that in my presentation. I've shown it to scientists and people that know what Raman spectroscopy is, and they say, oh, my gosh, there's a correlation here. How can that possibly be? How can that be a correlation between the hair sample of a being 2,500, 3,000 years old and a white hair from a hybrid creature? And yet there is, and they track. So there you go.
Wow, absolutely. I believe we have a caller from the 626 area code. Hello, call from the 626 area code. Do you have a question or comment for L.A. Marzulli?
Yeah, I do.
What's your name? What's your name, caller? Where are you calling from?
Pamela Stewart. I'm calling from Altadena. And I had a question regarding I don't know if you're familiar with this genetic technology that Megan Dalder's project, Eureka. I believe she's has some project out of UCLA, the Arts and Science Gallery, where she's, I don't know if you've heard of it, but it seems to be that she's put together a designer baby. Have you heard that it's been engineered? Have you heard anything about that?
Well, scientists are constantly messing with the genome and the gene pool. What I heard as far as a designer baby, and I might be wrong on this, was there were two different women involved, or perhaps three women involved, to create this one particular child, all done in a lab with, you know, manipulation with sperm and all this other stuff. So, yeah, that's a designer baby. It's a brave new world, and this is where we're headed. And this is one reason why I honestly believe why he has to come back, because we're not meant to mess with the gene pool. We don't have the ethics and the moral ability to create something that's better than what the Creator has done. And, you know, look, they're messing with the genome in dark underground labs, guaranteed. And the guys who were doing it are ardent Darwinists. So for them, there is no God. There is no right or wrong. There's only situational ethics. There are no moral absolutes, which gives them leeway, just like the movie Splice that came out a few years back, to do whatever they want to do. You know, a couple of years ago, they were talking about in England made this big deal about, oh, we destroyed 150 chimeras. Well, isn't that lovely? A chimera, of course, is an animal-human mixture. So they destroyed them. In other words, they were growing. Had they grown, they would have been, you know, whatever, right? They would have been chimeras, half human, half animal, right? And so they made this big deal. Oh, yeah. They made this big deal of, oh, we destroyed 150. Well, I blogged, you know, the next day after, or the same day I read that, I said, well, wasn't that comforting? They tell us that those 150 were destroyed. What about the other 150 that weren't destroyed? You know?
Wow.
And when we hear stories from, you know, witnesses who have claimed to see chimeras in dark, deep underground bases. So, look, folks, it's this is why he's got to come back. Because he even states, Jesus states, and this is what the church needs to understand, Jesus states unequivocally and unabashedly that unless those days are shortened, no flesh would survive. They are the most chilling words, in my opinion, in all of Scripture. What about that don't we understand? What about that warning, that caveat, goes unheeded by the churches?
Absolutely. Ellie, I know you have a few minutes to go. Real quick, I want to open the lines just to our the rest of our co-hosts. Ronnie, do you have any questions for Ellie before he leaves?
Yeah, I had a bunch, but let me just I really thank you. And before you answer the question, I want you to, you know, at least tell the people where they can contact you or
sure.
if you got a website, if you got merchandise. But I wanted you, because I was cruising on one of your sites, I wanted you to just, if you could, briefly speak on what does music have to do with it?
What does music have to do with it?
Yeah, because I saw somewhere where the rock bands, they're naming themselves after the fallen ones.
Yeah,
and
right,
if you could
right.
just quiet in just to show them how we're walking by and handling this stuff every day.
Yeah, the look, it's a long way from the Beatles singing I Want to Hold Your Hand to Katy Perry saying that she wants to be abducted, fill me with your poison, ready for abduction. You know, boy, you're an alien, so supernatural. I mean, that's right out of Genesis 6 when you see the actual video from Katy Perry, E.T. with Kanye West. I mean, it's one of the most obvious in-your-face deals. Look at Lady Gaga, same deal. It's blatant occultism, blatant satanic worship. And this is what the kids are watching. And that's only the tame stuff. I mean, there's stuff out there. I saw some videos, but I can't even talk about it because I don't want people to see it. I don't want to give this stuff any more credence. There's a band called The Fallen Ones, you know, that are out there. The guy manifests on camera during the video. I mean, he's manifesting. What's coming through is, you know, the demon that's allowed in him. Look at, you know, Slayer, you know, go demon or go home. I mean, you know, this is where we are at, ritualistic occult music, where the artists, or if you want to call them that, the participants have tapped in to the dark side and are openly in league with it. And frankly, I think that a lot of Hollywood and a lot of the record business are in the tank, you know, are absolutely in the tank. All we need to do is watch the, you know, MTV for a few hours and see what's on there. And one gets, it's soft pornography all day long and situational ethics and, you know, women are treated like whores. And, you know, I mean, I saw this one video with Kanye. I couldn't even believe it. I mean, I could not even believe what I was looking at. And so, you know, music plays a part in it because it lures the youth away and it's tantalizing and it fills people's heads with things that shouldn't be there, in my humble opinion.
Wow. Ronnie, did you have any other questions for LA?
No, I just would like him to let the listeners know where they could, you know, either get in touch with some of your books or some of your research, if you would just give a website, maybe a phone number, whatever you allow.
Yeah, go to my blog or my website. The blog is lamarzulli.wordpress.com. And the website where you can avail yourself of all sorts of resources, the books that we've been talking about, The Cosmic Chess Match, On the Trail of the Nephilim, which is a new book, which is an oversized book, 8.5 by 11, 120 full-color photos. You can see what we saw in Peru is absolutely, I think it's my most important book that I've ever written, and I really mean that. What we discovered in Peru is absolutely mind-boggling. And that's lamarzulli.net, lamarzulli.net, www.lamarzulli.net. And, you know, check us out. I was just on Sid Roth. We did four shows at Prophecy in the News. I was just on Coast to Coast a few weeks back. And, you know, the word is getting out, and people that have got On the Trail of the Nephilim and Watcher 6 are just totally blown away. Actually, we have a special that we've been running because it's you can get both for $40, so you're saving $10. So you can get the new book, On the Trail of the Nephilim, plus Watcher 6 for $40 instead of $50. So, again, lamarzulli.net. Thanks for having me on the show, guys. Really appreciate it.
LA, thanks for coming on the show, LA. And LA, listen, we need to do a part two. So I'm hoping that you would come back and bless us with your knowledge and wisdom on this topic. Would you come back sometime in the future?
Count me in.
Thank
Absolutely.
You,
LA, it's been a pleasure, sir. Thank you for coming on. Can we talk later?
All righty, guys. God bless. Bye bye.
God bless.
Bless
All right, guys, that was L.A. Marzulli. If you listen to the show, if you're just tuning in, too bad, you missed it. Go ahead and listen to the podcast because, man, woo, that was on a high level. Ryan, what do you think about that?
That was a lot of information, you know, and, you know, I'm going to have to go back and get another earful because it is stuff that we're dealing with, and these are things that are in the Bible. And he said one thing that stuck with me that, if the Bible said there was people filled with demons like Legion and all this other cosmic activity that the Bible talks about, if it happened then, what makes us think it's not happening now?
Absolutely.
And so we need to be
Absolutely.
Aware that the fact that we're opening ourselves up to entities because we're living in a society that teaches you how to do these rituals without you even understanding. You're learning this stuff, you know, on TV as soon as you come into this world, and as soon as you're exposed to the things of this world, you know, you're really putting yourself in the hands of the God of this world. We know that's the enemy. So, you know, I'm glad he brought some of these things to mind, and I just hope that it becomes a blessing to whoever's listening or studying, or hopefully they get confirmation and their eyes be open. But, yeah, I'm thankful the brother came through. Guys, I apologize. We had some technical difficulties there. Nikki?
Yeah, I'm still here.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I guess the devil's mad. He didn't like that. He didn't like this show today, huh?
I was wondering, did you get abducted?
I know, right? So, Nikki, let me ask. Well, what do you think about L.A. Marzulli? What do you have to say?
I mean, I thought that it was wonderful. I would have liked to get a question in there, but I guess the man went first, and so it's not a lady's first thing on this show. But it's all good.
Sorry. You're going to come back again, and, you know,
We were expecting to come on for a little longer, but I guess he had to leave, and there's so much that we wanted to cover, and man, we really just
and we just barely we didn't even scratch the surface.
Absolutely.
Just the things that, you know, just a little small like synopsis. I would have loved for him to elaborate more, but what it did do is it just brought to mind, which I have been paying attention to over the years anyway, it just brought to mind how in the entertainment industry, how so many horror movies and movies about aliens and how he makes a statement about how they're going to be beings that are going to manifest or come to, you know, the world as we know it, and basically say that they were the ones who created us. And if you ever saw the movie Prometheus, that's almost exactly what it's about. But what it was, it was, you know, human beings going out of space, and, you know, they found this planet or whatever, and the beings were dead that they did find, but basically they were saying that these beings were our creator. And then he also talked about the chip, or I'm not going to say our creator, should I say, let me rephrase that, creator of mankind as they thought, because my creator is the living father. When he was talking about the chip, he was talking about how there would be no sickness and, you know, in his opinion, there would be no sickness and people would live longer, you know, because in the end times, they'll say people will want to kill themselves and die, but they won't be able to. And basically, unless they were decapitated, basically. And the movie that is coming out, Elysium, is kind of like that. But Elysium is based on some Greek-type work, and it's kind of like, almost like about kind of sort of like a heaven, you know, but it's like, you know, the only the elite can live there, and there's going to be no sickness. And it's just like, it's funny because we're such a media-driven society now, and it's like we go and we watch these movies and we listen to this music, but really what it's doing, it's just desensitizing us. So it's like if you do see a creature like Prometheus, which was probably nothing but a Nephilim because they were huge in the movie, if you ever seen Prometheus, it's not doing anything but desensitizing us. So it's like you won't be scared. You might have a little a shock, but it will be nothing more than, oh, well, that's different. They're, what the media is doing, the mainstream media is doing, is getting us prepared or conditioned to accept the things that we shouldn't be accepting. I mean, you can go back with the Trayvon Martin killing, with the homosexuality being allowed into ministry schools and all this whole type of, they're trying to, all the way back to the androgyny dress with the boy George, and then they brought it back to the 2000s with the boys wearing the skinny jeans and wearing pink. They're trying to blur the lines for everything. And the thing is that if you're a person that's just trying to follow the fat, then you're going to get caught up without even paying attention to what's really going on.
Absolutely. That's a good point, Nikki. I want to ask you guys, and I'll go with Ronnie first. Do you believe that, or do you think that Hollywood is preparing us for something that's about to come through the movies with the aliens, UFOs? Have you noticed there's a lot of horror movies coming out with the supernatural and demons being possessed and what have you? What do you think about my comment?
I think Nikki touched on that just now when she said that, you know, look at what's being thrusted on you. And look, if we really look, we see that it's not new. It's a trend that they've been gradually, through the media, we've been gradually being introduced to things that, you know, we're supposed to reject. But we're getting fed it in such a small increment to where, you know, we can accept it, and it doesn't throw us off anymore. So I do believe they play a role, because I was just reading a book where it showed how there's a real small percentage of companies that own the media, you know, from the 100% of the media that we see is owned by a real small percentage of companies who are affiliated, who have their hands in military things as well, and military and science. All these things go hand in hand. And so I do believe that what we see is systematic, it's on purpose, and it does probably serve the purpose of the person who's feeding this to us. And we know that society is a reflection of the world. And so, because in church we would say, you know, that's worldly. But if you don't go to church, you understand the term society. And the society is the world, and the god of this world is the enemy. And the enemy is going to function through corporations, through media avenues, because also in this book I was reading, they were saying that the media doesn't tell you what to think, but they tell you what to think about. And so if they limit your understanding to what they're giving you, and all your brain is dealing with is this low-level introduction to things that you should be rejecting, then, you know, you pretty much control. So I do believe that they know that they're setting people up to accept certain things. They're setting people up they're setting people up to fall for what they shouldn't. And yeah, I think it's they're doing it on purpose and it's conscious, but the people need to wake up.
Absolutely. And you made a very good point there, Ronnie. There's going to be a lot of people listening to the show right now who have a problem with what LA said, who have a problem with what we're saying right now. They're going to call us heretics and crazy people, you know, just on the basis of, you know, they don't understand that. Their information has been very limited, therefore they're not being told the truth, and as a consequence, they are only thinking in certain parameters. But I wanted to go back onto this UFO phenomenon, and I was reading a commentary by some Christian scientists who mentioned that UFOs have to be demonic in origin because of the fact that when you track the trajectory of a UFO, it travels at 6,000 miles per hour, and it makes sharp 90-degree angle turns without slowing down. That, in physics, is pretty much practically impossible. And LA was mentioning how that demons have crafted these spacecrafts to be able to travel between dimensions from the spirit world into our dimension, which is the physical realm. Nikki, what do you think about that?
Well, I actually believe it, because if you've ever read the Book of Enoch, he talks about how when the fallen angels came to the earth and took on the wives and everything, they showed humans how to do extreme experiments and, you know, how to create basically how to basically indulge in witchcraft, how to do things that was not of this world. I mean, they're not of this world, so they have knowledge that's so far beyond ours. So I mean, my thing is, where is their UFO parking lot? Where are they parking these UFOs at, you know? But I definitely
know where they're parking them in. There's one in Rancho Cucamonga.
Is it? Where is it at, Rash? I would like to go see it.
I think there's also one in Atalanta, too, Nikki.
In Atalanta. I wouldn't doubt it. But, yeah, I actually believe it. I actually believe that's what that was going on. And back to the movie thing, I was also thinking about how they're even conditioning our children. I mean, because I do have small ones, and I have a three-year-old. And some of the movies, like Monsters University, Hotel Transylvania, they're even conditioning the younger mind to accept, oh, you know, hey, if a monster comes in your room, you know, if you scream really loud, that's good electricity for the monster world. Like, what type of twist